that was about to pay off. You know what I'm saying, right, John? He said, pulling me back into the moment. It's time to strike. I nodded and said something to the effect of, yeah, man, awesome. Then he looked at me and put it straight. Bro, I'm just gonna say it because you need to hear it. Skillet could be the biggest rock band in the world, but dude, you have to stop talking about Jesus. Silence. Not just talking about him, you need to disassociate from your Christian music history. Stop playing Christian shows. Stop doing Christian radio interviews. People just don't take it seriously. The spiritual thing, the positive thing, that's really powerful stuff. But the Jesus stuff hurts your brand. I'm just telling you, bro. I listened, thanked him for the encouragement. And I wasn't angry, nor was I conflicted. I realized he actually was doing his best to give me good advice. And truth be told, he was probably right. After all, the industry tends to look at Christian music like the diet version of rock music. Fewer calories, but not as good. He wasn't suggesting I give up my faith, of course. In fact, he explained that if I focus my Christianity on the social aspects of faith rather than on Jesus himself, I actually would be successful on multiple fronts. I would win favor from the rock world. Everyone respects Bono, he said. Simultaneously, I would be showing the love of Christ in action rather than words. Besides, he said, if I were to live my faith without proselytizing, and if we achieve mainstream popularity as a result, wouldn't it bring more attention to my faith in Jesus? John, he said as a final argument, think of how many poor people you can help in this world if you are rich and famous. Sometimes lies sound eerily similar to the truth. Sometimes you want something so badly that you cannot trust yourself to even know the difference. Why would God give me these dreams if he did not want me to chase them? Why would he give me this talent? After the conversation, he invited me to come meet a few of his more famous friends and the girls that were hanging around. I smiled and shook hands and thanked him, but said I needed to get back to the bus. It was late, and I was exhausted. And besides, my wife Corey and I had to get up early tomorrow. He smiled, said he looked forward to seeing where Skillet went, and we parted ways. The next morning, Corey and I talked about it. By noon that day, my decision was made. I could not stop talking about Jesus. I could not stop sharing the truth. I wonder what my life would be like had I taken his advice. I may have had an even more successful music career. But what would it have cost me? Would I still be married? Would I have raised two young adults who are living for the glory of God? Would I have enjoyed the treasures of the world at the expense of having no treasure in heaven? Even worse, would I have joined the ever-increasing group of ex-Christians who have devolved so far from their faith that it can no longer be recognized as Christianity? Considering my decision all those years ago, I was reminded of the words of Jesus. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. In that moment, I decided I would not deny Christ, nor would I be ashamed of him. Not then, not ever. I wrote this book because we are in a time of confusion, the likes of which I have never seen. The threads that hold society together are coming unraveled because there is no truth left to bind them. Lies have become truth. Truth has become emotion. Emotion has become God. God has become whatever one desires, whether rock and roll dreams, self-worship, or sexual desire, or whatever. And whatever one desires must be good, right? Is there a way through this mess? How can we tell the difference between truth and lies when we are constantly bombarded with slippery words which lead us down slippery slopes? Every social media influence